Welcome to The Heart of Healing, the Pandemic Episodes. I'm your host, Tom Fold. In these episodes, we will meet loving, talented people who, while coping with their own pandemic stress, are offering others understanding, compassion, love, and ways to relax and heal, even under the weight of our current conditions. Listen with an open heart to those who, in this time of crisis, are offering their hearts and talents to us all. And today I'm very happy to have here with us our guest, Kimberly Brown. And Kimberly is a meditation teacher and an author. Welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you, Tom. Hello, everyone. It's really, I'm delighted to be here and honored.
Well, I'm happy that you're here. Tell me, as a meditation teacher, when did you begin teaching meditation?
You know, I started teaching in 2010. And at that time, I was just sort of leading groups. You know, I was part of a meditation community, and I would just have silent sits where I would be the person facilitating the time. There wasn't much teaching, but leading in meditation. And then in 2011, I did a year-long meditation teacher training, and I have been teaching since then. So I guess about a decade, a little over.
What had led you to it? Had you always meditated in your life, or?
You know, Tom, I hadn't always meditated, but probably for the last 20, maybe even 30 years, I had been meditating during my yoga classes. Right. So I would practice, and all the yoga teachers, you know, would teach us how to meditate. And I was somewhat curious, but I didn't become more curious until about 15 years ago when I began to have panic attacks. And I have had lots of psychotherapy and even trained to be a therapist. So I could explain to you with a lot of knowledge and insight why I was having panic attacks, but I still couldn't manage them. You know, I was very overwhelmed by them. So that's what led me to begin to really learn more about meditation and mindfulness and the Buddhist path. That's where most of my teachers are from, because that enabled me to befriend my mind so I was not so caught in these panic attacks, which you know, they haven't completely disappeared. They come up at different times in my life, but I am far less swept away by them, and they're a lot less fearful to me.
Well, that's good. And it is interesting how most of us come to healing practices, whatever they may be, by some kind of crisis in our own life that leads us there.
Yes.
I suppose that's the way it's meant to be. I'm not sure. No, I didn't see the rule book, so I don't know. But so you've been doing this for quite a while, and talk about having panic attacks, although I certainly experienced that in my life. One of the best pieces of information that was ever given to me about that from my therapist at the time, who said, just know all panic attacks stop, which is, it was very good to know, because when you're doing it, it feels like it'll never stop.
It really does. And that's, you know, part of wisdom is knowing everything's impermanent.
Yes. Right?
Even if it doesn't feel like it. And that's super helpful with difficult emotions and experiences.
Definitely. So now you're in the midst of, with all the rest of us, and not that you're alone in this, you're in the pandemic. And if there's ever a cause for a panic attack, it's the world we live in today. So how are you doing with that today?
Thank you. Yes. Oh my goodness. It is such a scary time. And also part of what's scary is the uncertainty. You know, not knowing what's going to happen next. When will the pandemic end? What will the world look like at that time? For some of us, will we economically be okay? Will we lose our jobs or our homes? And of course, the election and social issues, you know, it's such a time.
Such a firmament.
Oh my goodness, what a word for that, Tom. Yes. And plus we see others around us getting really panicky, getting really scared. So that's not only am I feeling that, but most of my students are, and many, many people I meet are feeling this. So part of the practice is to live with this uncertainty, live at peace and at ease with this uncertainty, which is very tricky.
Well, I was about to say, I love to hear that word, live at peace and ease with this uncertainty. Now, how do we do it?
How do we do it? Yes.
I understand that maybe this is part of the answer, not answer, but an answer, that you've taken it upon yourself to write a book at this time, which helps people to this very direction. Can you tell us about that?
I can. Thank you, Tom. I wrote a book called Steady, Calm, and Brave, 25 Practices of Resilience and Wisdom in a Crisis. And Steady, Calm, and Brave was, it came about during the pandemic. I was working on a different book, what I in my head was considering my real book. And yet when the pandemic started in March, I really could not focus on that. I could only focus on what was happening here. I live in New York and like you do in this area, and it really was a frightening time in March and April. So an editor that I was working with, a friend, her name is Alice Peck. Alice suggested maybe I wanted to, you know, write something that maybe could support everyone. So I wrote this book, which is very personal because I share a lot of what I was going through and am going through in this crisis and how I've worked with it. And I hope it's useful and helpful to people to learn to steady their minds through meditation practice, learn to bring some kindness and ease to their own experience and to their relationships with others. And also to really remind us that we do have qualities like patience and joy and love and wisdom, and that we can bring them forward in this time so we can benefit ourselves and other people. Sometimes, I don't know, Tom, it seems like people forget all of their loveliness and their courage.
Right. Well, I have heard it said, and I tend to believe this, that we come from one of two places, love or fear. And it's not like we intentionally go to fear or intentionally don't want to be in love, but it's what happens. And when we're in fear, I imagine we don't have a good grasp on how we can handle a crisis or how we can even meditate possibly.
Yes. Yes. Because we become so caught in that fear and it seems so real. Now, I always like to mention that there's fear, realistic fear is useful, right? If you're in danger, if a car is about to hit you or a bear is attacking you, of course you're gonna feel fear and it's useful and it get you out of there. But many of us are having what's maybe we could call unreasonable fear or...
maybe extreme fear for the future.
Yes, fear for the future. And that is usually, psychologists will tell us, that is what they mean by anxiety. Right. Fear of something that's not happening right now.
Yeah, not being present. Not, this is one of the best times to practice what 12 Steps talk about, which is to be present, be in the moment. As
that's
does
it.
Meditation talk about.
Yes.
But I'm just going to share something. My wife and I, because, you know, we're both experiencing this, and it's not like I'm the one who's nervous and she's not. When we have a moment of upset, like we're crankier than usual, or we, you know, or tearful or whatever it might be, we've come to say, oh, it's COVID. And it's the COVID today. And it just breaks it for a moment.
Yeah.
And helps us remember there is a real thing happening out there. And we're not just making up fear.
Yes, there is a real thing happening out there. And each one of us need to prepare ourselves as best we can, plan for the future as best we can, and let go of the outcome, right?
That's the
hard part.
Take the action to let go of the results, which is very difficult, very difficult.
That is, Tom.
What do you do as a teacher, but as a person, to help you do that? What are one or two things that you would share with us?
Yes. Well, first of all, with fear, and is to notice you're fearful. Many of us right now are going around thinking, well, this is just reality. Something terrible is about to happen, right?
Right.
So the first step is to notice. You know, in the Buddhist tradition, they say fear is arising.
Mm-hmm.
Fear is arising in me. So the first step is to notice what's arising in you. It's not coming from out there. It's inside yourself.
Is that also the same as kind of saying, I am not, as opposed to saying, I am fearful, fear is arising, because I'm not fearful, but there's some fear coming up in my being.
That is perfect, because that leads to the second step, which is to notice you are not fear, that you have more going on than fear. And because of that, you can also allow yourself to have these feelings of fear, of worry, of uncertainty, and notice that you can have joy, you can have wisdom and see clearly what's happening. And that's sort of the second step. So first, you're kind of seeing that you have this fear, it's arising. Second, well, what's really happening here? I am having these worried thoughts, but that's not all I am. And I can start to bring my attention to what else is going on. And that's where the mindfulness comes in. And you were talking about the being present.
Being present, yeah. I was going to say, what technique or way you would bring yourself to that? I'm in fear now. Mm-hmm. What technique can I use to bring myself to be present and not with the fear?
Mm-hmm. So the easiest way is to come into your body. And coming into your body is noticing the physical sensations that you're experiencing. We're always experiencing them. So you might notice, once you notice a fear is arising, you might notice, wow, my belly is rumbling. You might notice my heart is beating faster. You might choose then to start to take some breaths, and you might notice that your breath is very shallow. That often happens to me when I'm fearful. Then starting to anchor your attention, maybe at the sounds that are coming in, or like I said, on your breath. And anchoring means keeping your attention there as you can.
Staying
as you can. Being present with that for just one breath, for just one sound, right? And keep coming back. And that keeps you from getting all caught up in the thoughts in your head and the fear that you have. So it's a way of coming back to the present moment, because we're always breathing now. You can't breathe tomorrow or yesterday,
right?
You know, exactly. So it helps us come right here to what's actually happening. You know, as you said, you and your wife say, oh, it's the COVID, right? You're coming, you're bringing yourself here by saying it's, that.
Right. Reminding us mm-hmm. that this is real. This is what's going on. And we're just feeling feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very, very help. That's a particular method. How do you work today? I mean, first of all, COVID has affected the amount of where you can work. I mean, are you working only from online or home?
I am right now. I'm only working online. And you know, Tom, you may have noticed this too. When the whole pandemic started in March and April, every meditation teacher I know, we were all working like crazy. People were so worried and upset and scared that classes were very large and everybody was learning to meditate. It was interesting. And that has died down a little bit as, you know, the pandemic goes on and we're more accustomed to it. But I have stayed online with teaching, and I think we'll continue to do so in the near future.
Right. And in this process that you're using online, is this, because we all talk about the other issues that are real economic issues. Are you able to charge for what you're doing? It's certainly worthwhile. I'm not saying you shouldn't charge, but are you able to do that and find some income?
You know, I am struggling with income right now. I'm very fortunate that my husband's able to support us and we are able to have a nice life. But almost all of my public classes right now are by donation. So some students are able to offer and other students aren't. I also have some corporate clients here and there, and they, you know, that I do get an income from them. But it is right now a difficult time to you know, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And it's very wonderful that you are offering, because people need this. They need, whether it's meditation or whatever it is, someone to help them, someone to say, yes, it's real, it's happening, and I'm here with you. That's one of the biggest things, to have somebody with you. I mean, yes, I'm glad my wife is with me, but at the same time, it's good to have others, to have people that I can talk to, that I can see on Zoom or whatever.
Yes, everyone needs support right now.
We need to be supported no matter who we are and what we're mm-hmm. doing. But then the future comes up, I mean, in terms of, so how is this going to work? eventually we hope it'll all be back to a thing called normal, although what normal will look like is unclear right now. But can you, do you imagine continuing doing this online?
I imagine that until there's a vaccine, Tom, in New York City, I don't think it's possible really to meet in person. I do hope, as you're saying, that, you know, there'll be this new normal. And I do hope and believe that we'll all be able to meet and meditate together. Sadly, meditation and yoga schools in this, I think all over the country, but certainly in the New York area, are closing like crazy. There are, you know, I think over half of the ones I know personally have not only closed their doors, but have closed. And it's unclear that they'll ever reopen. So that will be interesting part of the new normal too.
Yes, the new normal question about real estate is is one big one. And will we go, how will we go back? Will we go back? I can certainly see renting a space for a group, to have a group when we're able to have a group. But if, as an individual, you might never do that again for one, to do one-on-one, might never be necessary.
Yeah. And which is interesting because it's very, you know, working online like this, I was very resistant to it. The pandemic is not the first time people have been doing video conferencing classes. But as a teacher, I always felt it was important to be together, to feel the physical presence of others, even in silence. It's very powerful.
Indeed, indeed.
Right?
The energy of the people.
Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really want to do it. I just didn't think it would be as effective. And what's interesting is it does certainly, having this Zoom call with you is different than being in person with you. And we don't feel that same energy. And yet there is something very intimate about our faces being on the screen the whole time and, you know, really sharing and seeing one another. That has surprised me. And there, I have two groups, one on Thursday nights and one on Sundays. And through this pandemic, we have really felt so close to one another, even though we're on Zoom every week.
Exactly. Have you found by any chance that you believe some people are sharing a little more intimately than they might have done in person?
I wonder about that, Tom. I do think that that's true for some people, that the distance makes it somehow easier and one feels less vulnerable.
I think so. There's a little bit. My own experience, I'm a member of 12-step groups and they have a lot of them online. And I go back to the ones that I used to do in person. And I'm finding, much to my surprise, actually, because I've always felt comfortable there and I've always felt, you know, able to share. But I'm surprised at how much more I feel like sharing online. I don't know whether it's because we are a little distant, but whatever, it's an interesting thing to discover.
It is. And also, I think all of us feel a little bit more vulnerable than we may have a year ago.
Well, that's true. I mean, and that's one of the things also that happens, and I think is wonderful to use meditation, is that it's not about the big things. It's not about like, oh my, you know, someone had an accident and it's a terrible, or someone, you know, got very sick, forget COVID for a moment, but got very sick and I'm worried. It's about every day's pressure and the need to just, I feel, this is my feeling, I'm seeing what you feel, that there's a pressure, and pressure being something coming down on me, which is the air of COVID, the air of a pandemic, the air of an unknown. And to find respite in that is what I find in meditation when I go online with some, and I would do it in person, but when I go online with somebody, I find that to be a wonderful experience.
I'm glad that you do, and I completely agree with you, because part of what, it's interesting how one can meditate and learn to rest one's mind. One of the reasons all of us are feeling so overwhelmed is, yes, these actual things are happening and they're frightening and upsetting, and our minds are so busy. Our minds never rest, looking for, you know, an answer here and what's going to happen there and making a plan and a worry. And through meditation practice, just being with what's arising is restful.
Right,
just right, the sound that's coming up, even the thought of worry, just being able to be with it without pushing it away or, you know, scrambling for an answer, becomes a way to have a certain amount of ease and relaxation with your own mind.
Indeed. And I think it's very important to have another person who's doing it, like guiding it and leading it, because many people have said to me, and I have experienced it myself, that it's harder to do this by yourself. That if you're alone, it seems the distractions get to you. Whereas if you're either in a group, which I think is the best, but if you're online and looking at a Zoom call, it's much easier to stay present.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, in the Buddhist tradition, they say that there are, they call them the three jewels. They say that the teachings are one of the jewels, and our own heart, you know, our own qualities are second of the jewels. That's the Buddha, the Dharma. And then they say the Sangha, the community, is the third jewel. And when I first started coming to this practice, I thought, well, that's stupid. You don't really need other people to do this. You know, it's not that important. But you really do. It's a lot harder to try to practice on your own, to try to support yourself. Being with other people, as you say, whether in presence or online, provides you with a certain amount of support and confidence, and it also reminds you you're not alone in this endeavor. It's really helpful.
And one of the things that I've noticed, because I found, was introduced to a Sangha, and have been doing this now for 5 months, and I find that the chat room, there are 70 odd people on this. I say odd, like we're all odd, I suppose, but there's 70 people on it. And of course you don't speak to everyone, and you don't, and most people are on mute. And most of the time it's the teacher speaking and then in silence. But the chat room is another form of intimacy. And people will say, I think I mentioned once that my daughter had a problem and just mentioned it. Oh, she's in California. One of my daughters is in California with the fires. I just mentioned it, saying hello in the chat room. And I got 10 or so people saying, oh, I'll pray for her. Or just, I'm sorry to hear that. That's the kind of comfort that I can't get sitting in my room by myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful.
I hope more people come and work with you and join with you in whatever you're doing. Because you also said you're doing something else, which I was very delighted about. You said you and your 20-year-old niece are beginning a mindfulness group for people under 25?
We are. I believe that's going to begin October 28th, and we're going to run it weekly through the end of the year, so to help people through the holidays and the election. And then we may run it, you know, monthly in 2021. We're calling it Just Breathe. It is a mindfulness group for young adults age 16 to 26. We'll be having meditation practice and then just support, you know, however people would like to share. We'll provide topics of interest if we can, and but it's mainly
the election by itself will be a topic of interest.
I know, isn't it true, Tom? My goodness. But it seems, from what I'm reading and understanding, young people are struggling so much.
Well, let me tell you, and I'm sure you've heard this before, but I have a 23, I just promoted her to 22 more years. I don't think she needs to have that right now. 23-year-old daughter. I'll get it right sometime. 23-year-old daughter who lived with us for 4 months from the pandemic started. And after a while just said, I have to leave. I love you dearly, but you don't even understand when I talk about a musical group. You say, who, what? And it's a totally different world. I need to be with people of my own age, and I can't go out into the real world, total world. So she had a friend in another state, and she went, and she's down there, quarantined herself down there with her friend. At least she says, still, we're quarantined. It's still a problem that the world is what it is, but I'm with somebody in my 20s, in their 20s, and I can talk. So I think it's very true that people in their 20s needs this as much as anybody else these days.
Absolutely. Yes, they're socially and culturally constrained in a way that's the age in which you're experiencing. You're being very social. You're at cultural events, music, etc. And suddenly it's not possible. Even going to school isn't possible. So,
exactly. And where is that social? Really, college was all social. Was, mm-hmm. You know, the event, the experience of college meant as much as the courses in college.
Yes, and you learned as much.
And you learned quite a bit about yourself and other mm-hmm. people and the world. Mm-hmm. So it is a challenging time for all of us. And we've been going at this. This is lovely. I like to talk forever, but I think we need to come to a close pretty soon. So, and before I do, I'm going to ask you, what if people would like to, having heard you now, if people would like to get in touch with you, either to read your book, find out about your book, or maybe get online with you, what's the best way for them to reach out to you? What?
You can most easily learn more about me and contact me through my website, which is meditationwithheart.com. Meditationwithheart.com, and there's a way to contact me through there, and you can get info on my book.
That's lovely. Meditationwithheart.com. Excellent. Mm-hmm. Excellent. So let me ask the final area here that we talk about is what is your hope or vision for the future? This will pass someday. We have to trust. And what do you see as a possibility, and what would you hope will come about?
Well, my greatest hope, and I believe it's a real possibility, Tom, is one thing this pandemic has showed us and taught us and revealed to us is that we are all interconnected. Whether we like it or we don't like it,
right.
Someone in China gets this COVID-19 and it can fly through, you know, the entire world. So each one of us affect each other.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It could be a liberal or a conservative.
Exactly. It could be a young person or an old person. Whoever it is, we affect each other. And this pandemic has really shown us that clearly. So my hope and my belief is that we'll have more clarity about that and see how we do have an effect on one another. We see that with the environment, you know, but people want to kind of deny this or that about it, but it's the same as the pandemic because we all breathe the same air.
Well, also I hope, you know? And I'm with you on this, that we all come to remember how much we need each other and how much people have helped us during this, that there are people who helped me tremendously during this, people who I think I've helped and maybe I have and you have, and remember that that's a wonderful way to be in the world, to be helpful as you are. To read your book, go to your class.
No, it's beautiful, Tom, because it's the truth. We need each other, right? We affect each other. We need each other. And to have a sense of gratitude for that, I also hope will
yes,
arise.
Yes, because we absolutely are all that we have. Look at all yes. the money we had, some people had and don't have anymore because they don't have a job. And just as one example, look at some of the people who spent their life traveling and can't do that anymore. Yeah. But what we do have is each other. We yep. do have contacts. A lot of people, have you experienced this? I have, having contact with some family members who I'd not had contact with before in a long time.
Yes, old friends, old family, people that I've been out of touch with. Yes, I have, in some cases, I've been the one to reach out, and others, it's been they to me. But yes, this pandemic has reminded us of our connections and how much we care.
And how much we care. I think that's a wonderful place to end, Kimberly. How much we care. We care so much about each other and about the world. And I really thank you for doing the work you're doing. And I hope other people will get in touch and get your book and do classes with you. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you, Tom. Many blessings.
Many blessings.